October 1, 2021, so watch for Pedro's show.
Thank you.
Show. Start off the show, John Coltrane, Miles Davis doing all blues. Then Vasari with Aldenir's Flay. And due to those Estonian software engineers with Skype Adventure, I have with me John Charles Vasari. Welcome aboard.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Deja vu all over again. We got to thank Adam Hawker for making the connect. Thank you, Brother Adam. I love this stuff he said, and he said you had a profound effect on his musical journey. So I want to learn about your musical journey, Jean-Charles. Please bring the earliest memory you got about music.
Oh, my earliest memories are my first singles, I guess. So the first thing I was into, I was maybe nine, was the Buggles track, Video Kill the Radio Stars. And
sure. He actually was in that band. What were they called?
Yeah,
Swell Maps. Swell Maps.
No,
he was in Swell Maps, and then he went and did a solo thing. And yeah.
Was he? Oh, I didn't know that. Yes. That's interesting.
Swell Maps was a great band. It was two brothers.
Oh yeah, right? I love them. They're fantastic.
Epic soundtracks and Nicky Sudden. But go on.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that's that, and then. Then it all started with post-punk, but in a very, how could I say that, clean way. I listened to Captain Sensible before even knowing about The Damned. I listened to Duran Duran before even knowing about other artists, which became really important. And I started playing music when I was in high school, and I came across, in the meantime, with of course, The Cure, Joy Division, and all these bands, more on the Brit side at the time. I discovered what happened in the U.S. afterwards.
What town in France did you grow up?
I grew up in Paris.
Oh,
I grew up
in big town. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And in the time, there was no internet, so it was all, you had to rely on the
Cure. Yeah, I remember. I was there, too. I got to tell you, Jean-Charles, the first release by Rough Trade Records was a French punk band called Metal Urbain.
Metal Urbain, of course, I know. Yeah.
The City Boys, right? And this I got it right when it came out just to see what it was about, and it was great. I mean, they were singing French. And so there is some roots going way back. In this house in Paris that you grew up in, was there musical instruments?
No, so my parents lived in the suburbs, so I did go to school in Paris, which is why I consider myself being raised in Paris, but unfortunately I was commuting every day. There was no musical instruments at the time, and there was no stereo, so I really had just a little cassette player in my bedroom to start with, and then I had a Walkman because it was Walkman time.
Could I ask you the first record you bought with your own money?
Yes, you can absolutely ask me that. I do think I might have bought the first Duran Duran album. It doesn't make me proud, but that's how it is.
I met the bass man, John Taylor, a really good musician, yeah, and a great guy. He lives in SoCal here. I met him at Claremont's at a book thing for Mr. Letham, Jonathan Letham. That's how you pronounce it.
Okay.
Now, can I ask you... at school, were you in the choir or the marching band, or was there any kind of music program?
Interesting. We don't have that in France. School in France is quite different from the U.S. It's interesting that I have to go way back because, again, I was in a choir at some point when I was living in Reno, Nevada, and it was the church choir. But that's what I found to escape the boredom that I was feeling with what was going on in church. So I would sing religious things. And that's when I started singing, actually. I never thought about it this way, but it is when I started singing for real.
Well, Jean-Charles, I got to tell you, a lot of rock and roll comes out of the church. The early guys in the 50s, they all learned how to sing in church. Can I ask you the first gig you went and saw?
Yes. Well... the first real gig I went to see was Duran Duran when I was in Reno, so a massive arena, but I don't have that many good memories. The first important gig for me, I was 16, not even, I was 15. I went to see an Israeli band called Minimal Compact, whom I'm still absolutely fan of, and I think they were fantastic. Colin Newman, the bass player, Mark Espigel, she's a Colin Newman partner, so
that's
they do a
right,
lot.
That's right. Yeah. A big hero of mine is Colin Newman. I thought she was a Belgian lady.
Well, they lived in Holland. They're all from Israel, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, she's great musician. Colin Newman, a big hero of mine. I think they live in Brighton, England right now.
Yeah.
Now, the first musical instrument you picked up, Jean-Charles?
First musical instrument I picked up was a guitar. So you asked me if there was a musical instrument at home. There was, and it had been there for a long, long time. But I did not pick it up until I started getting into the music that has founded my taste, which is basically post-punk and then punk and all that. But it was a classical guitar, so very thick neck, nylon strings. It was interesting for me because I think I approached this guitar. I was already playing like I'm playing now, using a lot of open chords, and I don't do strange tunings. I always go with the regular one, but still I'm using a lot of the strings, open strings. And so I was playing like that then. I was not really into guitar that much, and I stayed with the guitar until the end of high school. And then, if you can believe this, I started learning to play the accordion.
Yeah, I can believe it. My organ man started off with accordion, but he's from his parents were from Croatia, so yeah, Eastern Europe thing. Can I ask you about your guitar learning? Did you take lessons or are you self-taught?
Mostly self-taught. But what happened is, so I started playing the accordion when I was in my early 20s, maybe even before, 19. And it drove me towards piano and organs and harmoniums, which I still play nowadays. Not as much, but I still do play them a bit. And I had a long go with a band, of whom I sent you one track, I think, Hurleur. That was my first band. So I played mainly keyboards there. And then when we split, I decided, I had started playing some guitar, but I wanted to get more into guitars. So I did buy myself a guitar and I started taking courses with a guy who was really influenced by Robert Fripp. So it was interesting because his approach was not traditional really.
Not at all. And at this point you got an electric guitar, right? An amplifier.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I bought myself a nice electric guitar. I always wanted to have a Red Gibson, so that's what I got.
Okay.
But I only took courses for 3 months, and then from there I just taught myself really. Yeah.
That's okay. You play very well. And you know there's a lot of different paths to where we get to, right? I'm just curious.
Exactly.
I'm just curious because my mind reading, I still got to use words, so I'm going to ask you questions, but don't come to a point where I'll just grab the thoughts right out of your head.
Okay.
You mentioned Reno. So when was Reno in your French life?
I moved to Reno for a year when I was 13. It's a long story that I'm going to cut very short because
okay,
that's okay. But my parents were friends with this couple and they were coming every summer, and one summer they came over, and unlike the other summers I was still at my parents' because it was during holidays, and they just offered to take me back with them, well, to have me come over, because they didn't take me back, they went on a European trip and then they went back to the US, and they just invited me, so they got me a visa, of course a school visa, and they had me in their house for a year. And it was quite, for me, it was very, it's a very important year in my life because, first of all, it brought me the knowledge of English, the way I speak English now.
You're very good.
Thank you. But it's an understanding of English, which is different from what you learn at school, of course.
Yeah.
And it introduced me to American culture or no culture. Being in Reno was a little weird, but then, you know, I played Dungeons and Dragons with my friends. I went to 7-Eleven, play Star Wars arcade games. It was the best experience of a you can have when you're 13, especially as a French boy.
Absolutely.
So it was fantastic, and I my ties with the father of that family were really strong. I've been seeing him. We lost touch because when you're a teenager, you don't write that much. But we lost touch for a bit, and then I managed to reconnect later on in my life. And from that moment, I went to see him as often as I could until recently, because he passed recently, unfortunately. But
that's really beautiful. I love that. It's all about people at the end of the day, huh?
Exactly.
Look,
it's all about
people. This music, your first band, Hurlers?
Hurlers, yeah. It works. Hurlers, yeah.
Okay.
Doesn't mean the same thing, but it does work.
Yeah, I understand. Sorry. Let's listen. Thank you.
Ominous clouds billowing from the distance and loom overhead. The once clear sky is now blanketed in darkness. It hangs heavy above us all. Here comes a storm.
Pedestrianize There's no future, no future. And England's dreaming. Once I had community. Now I make do with social anxiety. A sickness of missed opportunity.
cartes postales qui racontaient ces choses que j'avais bien aimées.
Repeat or show that chunk of music started off with the Hurlers, Dans ton sommeil.
Yeah, which means in your sleep.
Yeah, right. And brand new from SLW CC Watt, a project got a collab with Sam Lockwood, Dallas City. Here Comes the Storm. We did a cassette EP and it's got 45 songs. Really tiny.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Then Neil Turpin out of Leeds. He's a drummer man, but made a record where he plays everything. This is brand new, Kick in the Can. I love it. Los Remedios out of Barcelona. New proj. Brother Milo there with Frustration. Bombas Prendon out of D.C. Air with Red Bull and Kafka. Lil Rabbit from Up Around the Sun. This is Tim Kerr from the Big Boys. New proj in Austin. And Gomez do Limbo. Out of Brazil with Doi and Versari with Brulé. Okay, so let's continue the adventure. So this first band, you're playing keyboards. Now
yeah.
is this your band, or is this a band you joined?
No, it was always my band.
Okay.
I started it. I made it evolve into what it became with time. And, it was my band, yeah.
Okay. Do you remember the first... Hurler's gig?
Oh, yes, very well.
Bring it.
It was a time where there was in Paris, there was a nice indie punk scene, and not punk in the sense of rock and roll punk. They called it alternative punk. And it was easy to play shows. So we, fortunately, the first shows we played were in a bar around the corner from where I worked at the time. I was selling books in a big library. But, that's the place I was always going for my coffee. And one day I just asked if he would have us for a show. And he said, oh yeah, sure, come over. And we played there for a full month, every Friday or every Saturday. I don't remember. It was always interesting. It was challenging. It was very acoustic at the time what we played. And then after that, we were lucky enough to play in a nice, very nice old strip club that's in the equivalent of the Red District of Paris, but that it turned into a nightclub. And,
you're talking about up by Moulin Rouge?
Yeah, nearby the Moulin Rouge.
Okay, okay, okay.
The place was called New Moon and it was absolutely fantastic. It was surreal. And I saw fantastic shows there, punk shows, everything. It was a great place. Paris was quite different at the time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, things go through the changes, and there usually is a golden period, right?
Yeah, exactly. The gentrification is not helping much.
Right.
Any big city in the world, unfortunately, it's not just us.
Absolute, absolute. Like, artists create these spaces that people with money covet, but as soon as they sterilize it, as soon as they buy it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's really how it happens everywhere, and it's happening exactly the same way here.
Okay. Okay. Now, let me ask you about the material.
Okay.
Was it original? Were you writing material for this band, your first band?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was writing everything. I mean, I was not offering parts to the musicians, but I always came with the structure and the lyrics, at least advanced to a certain point. That's one thing that's changed a lot with time. With this band, towards the end, we were starting to experiment a little, but with Versari, the band with Lorin and Cyril, we have a connection that goes, we're very good friends. I mean, I even consider them family rather than just friends. And most of our tracks are born from playing together. We don't do improv. We don't do scales and stuff like that, but we do free improv. We start with ideas. We start playing together, and then things always pop up, and that's how we compose. So I would say my work with writing music for Hurleur was more I was not trying to direct everyone, but I was the creative source. Whereas with Versari, it's really a band thing.
Do both bands share any common members besides yourself?
Oh, no, absolutely not.
So there was no like evolution from Hurlers to Versari. Versari was just a whole new thing. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. No, it's connected because they know each other, but Versari, the Hurleur story didn't end well. At some point they were starting, it was complicated. It was like a long relationship that turned sour, I would say. And, but I met Cyril, Versari's drummer, while I was still touring with Hurleur, because for a day job, he's a tour manager. So he tour managed us on a big tour. And it was nice. And I really connected with him right away. And I remember very well being on that tour and saying, when this band is over, because it's going to happen, I want to start a new band with you. I said, oh yeah, sure. Because we were friends. And that's what I did. As soon as I said, well, I'm over with this. I can't do this anymore. I called Cyril, not even the day after, I think in the evening or something like that. I said, well, it's done now. Do you want to start a band?
Like we say, the writing was on the wall.
Yep, exactly.
So you could tell. And there's nothing about even the best cats with technique in it. They can overcome personal difficulties, huh?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was a challenging band. I mean, I do not regret working with Hurleur because we did great things. We were lucky enough to tour India at some point.
Wow.
It was a really fantastic. We left for India for a month and played eight shows over a month. Yeah, it was quite an experience. And because we were, of course, it was the French cultural exchange, you know, things they do.
But near the good Calcutta thing, and all that area?
Yeah, well, it was all of them. We went all around India. We traveled by plane. We did all the major cities. But what was good is we were playing for only Indian audience. It was not for, you know, French or white.
Yeah. It was that happened Indian, to me in China. So Jean-Charles, that happened to me in China. I went over there, and only one or two of the gigs was actually for Chinese people. I was playing for people who moved over there.
Yeah, there you go, the expats. And that's that. It kind of happened in, what's the name of that town? The old French colony. I'm missing it right now. But anyway, it was weird because it was in a theater, and the what we call orchestra, which is the ground floor of the theater, was only white people. And then the upper levels were only Indian people. So, and that's the only place where it was like that. I even said something. And the guy from the culture.
It was a form of segregation.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But it's how theaters were happening in the old days. The rich would get the ground floor. And then the further up you went, the poorer the people, the cheaper the seats and the poorer the people.
Now Shakespeare was opposite, right? Because it was a penny to be a groundling, and then the people up in the balcony was the people at the moment.
Oh, okay.
But that was 400 or 500 years ago.
But I made a comment about this in the, he was not the ambassador, it was the cultural attaché or something.
Sure.
Was a little pissed off, but he came up to me and said, yeah, I didn't really like that, but after that the show was so good. It's all right, but I didn't really like that. Yeah, sure. Why not?
Well, you got to speak your mind, right? Especially if something smells kind of weird or looks weird or feels weird.
Yeah, I don't care.
There was a thing in Memphis. There was a wrestler, and this is in the early 60s, and they had it all divided like that. And this wrestler guy, he would work the black crowd, and in a small way helped bring segregation down in Memphis.
Oh, that's good. That's
sometimes beautiful. The arts can, you know, I don't think you could be too didactic, but if you just hold your values, maybe slowly
exactly.
change. Yeah.
Yeah, because people, in a sort of way, they don't look up to you as an example, but they're going to a show, they're coming to watch you. So if you stand your ground, be human, humane, do that, it changes minds. It does. And of course, you know, it's what I'm trying to write about in my lyrics and this kind of, and I think a lot of the artists I respect are talking about human relationships and stuff like that. So
that is beautiful. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, October 1, 2021 edition, Wap Peter Show. Special guest, Jean-Charles Vasari. Hold tight for hour two. October 1, 2021, it's the second hour of the Watch for Pedro Show. Watt for Beaver show started off the second hour with Adam H. We know him. Ithaca. Town upstate New York. Well, actually in Greece first. Oh, by the way, people, yeah. That wrestler in Memphis was Sputnik Monroe. I found a poster for him when I was recording Sam Phillips' recording service with Tab Falco and Larry Mullins for a Christmas record. And they told me the whole story, and it was pretty incredible. Pretty incredible. Ben Salter from Tasmania after that sacrifice. Mike Cooper, Lost Steps. He's on the show last week. Great guitar man. Petrified Max. This is Vitas from the last keyboard man. Producer Urinals. The Bat Reconsiders. Kendra Plex with Grass Dance. And then Adam H. again with Sarbanda. Now, he comes to Paris, right? That's how you meet him?
Yeah, he came to, I met him through a recording, because I'm a music producer in Paris. That's what I do when I don't play music. I have a studio, and I recorded a piece for Riz Chatham. Do you know him?
Sure. He's the guy who was not aware of Mr. Glenn Branca doing the same thing at the same time.
Yeah, we could say it like that, sure. Yeah, I think it's different. It's a different approach. But,
yeah. I love both of them.
Yeah, same. But in any case, so I was working on that piece by Riz Chatham with maybe 8 guitars then. And Adam was one of them because he was introduced to him through a friend, I think. And we connected right away. He also just had a little girl that was almost exactly the same age as my boy. And, so we connected about, you know, diaper stories and stuff. And then, because and that brings us back to me being raised partly in Nevada, because I feel very connected to American people. I connected right away and we started speaking music, and I just said, well, let's get together. Let's go to the park and take out the kids. So we did. And long story short, again, he's in Paris and I'm having a hard time. We're splitting with my son's mom. And before that, Adam was saying, yeah, I'd like to start a band. I'd like to do an album. I have ideas. And I just offered. I said, well, why don't you come to the studio and record some demos, which he did. And then I split and I was not available to have any other project than my own at the time because kid and complications at home. And so once I was single again, I told to Adam, well, I've got time now, so if you're still interested in someone doing drones for you, I would be happy to do so. And he said, oh yeah, sure. And we saw each other a lot at the time. And we went to a practice room one day. And after 2 hours of trying things, I said, why don't we just record the album right away? Let's just do the thing as we go. Let's just create the tracks and finalize the track together. So we did. We went to the studio and we did this album. It was, 3 weeks of work, I think. And I'm very, very happy with the album. I'm still super proud to be part of that project.
Adam, your drummer man, for Adam's album, John Charles, you're a drummer man also?
Yeah. We did some drum machines programming on all the tracks, except Saraband, which has real drums. And Saraband's drummer is Cyril, the guy who plays drums in the Versari.
Okay, I misunderstood. I thought you were said you wanted to play drums for him.
Oh, no. Drones.
Oh, drones. D-R-O-N-E. Yes.
Sorry. Adam was looking for someone to play drones.
Okay. Yeah. Big legato tones. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So I kind of brought some drones in, but I also brought some. I do a lot of, with Adam, I work a lot with 2 loopers, and I like to play the same thing but slightly desynchronize them so they kind of phase out a bit as it goes. Kind of like Steve Reich kind of
yeah,
feel.
Yeah, it has texture to it. It's kind of like yeah, moving a brick wall texture. One brick at a time, so it doesn't look like it's kind of moving.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a drum question? Are the sticks called baguettes?
Yes, they are. I wouldn't eat them, though. But they are called baguettes, yeah.
Okay. Look, you gave me this music that you did with a great bass man, Jaw Wobble.
Yes, so that's another experience.
Let's listen, and then you can talk about it, okay?
Okay.
everybody play.
Thank you.
Walk for Pedro show, that chunk of music. He started out with I Know Erica Knuckles featuring Jawa.
Knuckles. She's brilliant. Yeah, so, Knuckles.
And then Everybody Play, the alternate version from Sound Watchers. Sons with two U's from their new record, Clarity. The Dolly Rocks, brand new breed. Have a Nice Life with Hunter. I don't know how that goes together. And then finally, yeah. Fruit Key with 73 Wounded Knee. That's something you flowed to me. But let's first start with your experience with Jawa.
Unfortunately, I cannot say that I have an experience with Ja Wobble outside of mixing his bass because I didn't record it. I produced Erica Knuckles' album last year during confinement. That was a confinement project. And we were working on that track, and she had kind of discarded it as for being on the album. And I said, no, I think it's a good track. We should work on it. And as we were progressing in the production and recording, well, not recording, but production, we mentioned bass, and she said, oh, I could ask Jawa Wobble. I'm in touch with him. I said, oh, yeah, sure, go for it. And he replied very kindly and sent us a track. And we took some parts and we worked a little with it, but mainly it's there. And it really gave the glue to the track, which was fantastic.
Yeah, you know, he's a big fan of Family Man, so I got to see Bob Marley once, Family Man Barrett, oh my God. Wow.
Okay.
I like the way you put it, glued it together. That's what the bass does. People say four-string guitar. No, it's a four-string drum set that glues shit together.
Yeah, exactly. It's the frequencies that are not anywhere else.
Absolutely.
And if you manage to, it brings the glue. And also because it's Jawa Wobble,
yes.
It gave a special group. And we reproduced. I had the guy I was working with, because some of the tracks I called in a friend of mine who's really good with electronic music. And I wanted him to bring his input on beat machine programming. And the fact, once we had the bass, he found the exact way to bring in the beats. It really brought some glue and some grandeur to that track.
It sounds like a beautiful collab, Jean-Charles. Look, tell me about 73 Wounded Knee Fruit Key.
So Fruit Key, it's still with my obsession with American artists, I guess. I met Jason Glasser, who's the main guy of Fruit Key. It's his project, really. It's not Fruit Key was a band for some time, but he still plays music. He used to play in a band called Clem Snide. Do you know them?
I remember them.
Yeah, they're from New York. Americana, clever, you know, New York songwriting of folk rock songs. And so he was part of the original band. He moved to France and still lives here. And he's mainly a graphic artist. He does more graphic painting. He paints, draws, does all sorts of things in that field. And I met him through a common friend. And same thing. I called him. I said, well, Jason, let's try to make some music together. And we did. We started, before that, to be fair, I released, I have a label, which I started with the guy who plays drums to me, Cyril, and we released his first album. But then once we had released this album, he had to tour it. So we said, well, why don't we play with you? And so this way we can tour it. So we did. And then from there was born this second album. It's really his songs, and he produced it, and he made the choice of who to record it with, who to mix it. So it's really his work, but I sent you this track because I sing on it, and what's important with this project called Fruit Key is that that's where I started experimenting stuff with the guitar, and that's where I started to play the way I play and experiment noise and feedbacks and stuff like that, which to me were very interesting.
So by helping your friend, you actually developed finding your own voice on the guitar.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's what I would say. Fruit Key was very important for me with the guitar at the time. And we already had started playing with Cyril then for the Versari project, but I was not doing half of what... I was not doing anything in that sense. I was more traditional with
It's like he gave you the geo. That's the thing about working with people. It's beautiful. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, October 1, 2021. Yeshua Pedro Show. Special guest Jean-Charles Versari. Hold tight for hour three. October 1, 2021. It's the third hour of the Live from Pedro Show.
maladie d'un nom que tu rabâches. Allez, reviens, 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 dis encore. Reviens comme un chien, reviens comme un mort.
Show start off the third hour with Vasari doing Non Retour, then Pet Bottle Ninja with Chocolate With, Planning for Burial out of Pennsylvania with TV Glow, Stomeli di Isilio, the Exile song from Jim Dorlan, and finally Vivienne Vasari. I like the way French like leaves off the last few letters. Way more econo, so you don't say those N's and S's, right, huh?
Well, the N, yes, we do say the N, but it doesn't sound. It contributes to the sound of the N of the word, but the S, yes, it's silent. We have a lot of S's, silent T's.
Yeah, like Vu, you don't say Vokes.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
My son is going crazy with learning French. He doesn't understand where there are letters that should not be said.
Yeah, but it's econo, you know, it's abbreviated.
Yeah.
I like it, shorthand. Okay, producer man. You became a producer, man. How did that happen? You never planned that as a kid, right?
No, absolutely not. I was always interested, being a musician, into what was going on in the studio. So I would watch where they would put the microphones, what preamps they would use, even though I did not understand everything. Compressors were a little obscure for me, stuff like that. But I started getting a few gear here and there. So I had a home studio that was reliable enough for me to demo stuff or do instrumental music for dance companies or stuff, which I did for a bit. And when I was, at some point I realized I could not earn enough money to make a living out of music. It started getting really hard. So I thought, what could I do that I'm still interested in and that could maybe bring a little more money in the house? So I did a 1 year very intensive sound engineering course in a place called SAE Institute in Paris, and they have a worldwide thing. But for me, it was wonderful. It was a wonderful year I learned a lot. And before doing that, I had already produced an album right before. So I knew a few things. But and right when I got out, because I was already 40, I thought, oh, I'm not going to be an assistant. I'm just going to buy more gear and start a studio somewhere. So I rented a room in the suburbs of Paris. It was quite far away, but we managed to do a little studio. And for 1 year, we stayed there. And I tried things and started understanding what I learned and what I understood before, but experimenting with what I learned. And then the building was sold for destruction, so we had to move somewhere else, and I fortunately found a place in Paris. And from then, I've just been recording and mixing albums. In France, the production value is not really understood. There, we have producers in the variety world, but not so much in the indie world, or the indie people will go to American or English producers. They don't necessarily go to French producers. But in any case, I started to work with people who knew me from my bands, people who knew me from what I was doing before and all that. And it got very interesting. And my approach to working with an artist, no matter what the music is, because I have sometimes worked on projects which I was not super interested in, but I always find a way to pique my interest. Try this, try that, maybe suggest this. And the way I see it is I always help people go through the process of making an album. Or an EP or whatever, but I'm really getting a kick out of that. This for me is making music as much as I'm making music when I'm playing the guitar or writing a song.
Charles, tell me your opinion, the difference between an engineer and a producer.
Well, if you're just an engineer, which happens to me sometimes, you know the tools, which are preamps, microphones, compressors, EQs and all that. And people ask you a specific thing to do and you do it. So you engineer. You place everything the best it can so it sounds perfect in the end and they can go somewhere else to mix it or start producing. The producer adds a point of view in the process. He'll say, yeah, maybe that's too long or, but I don't, it can be anything. It can be me just going to the guitar amp and saying, no, that doesn't work with the track. Oh, let me just do the EQ and redo the EQ or something like that. And, it's having a role. It's not necessarily being given a role because I'm not that often given the role of a producer in France, but people always look up to me for ideas about what they're doing and because they know I'm a musician myself and I do this and that. So I guess it's having an input, having a thought about what you want to hear. And if it's an open dialogue with the artist, then you can say, well, maybe we should do it this way so we can do that. For example, I have project where I mixed an album recently of a French artist, and I said, well, I like the songs. They're great, very traditional French songs with poetry as well, some poems from past, you know, centuries and stuff. And I said, it sounds, you did this with Logic, with a keyboard, a Nord keyboard, and there's no organic instruments. And she said, oh, wow, you can hear that. And yes, you can hear it. Obviously. And so what I did is I reamped everything. I played almost all the instruments through amps. And every time I would just, you know, tweak the amps, find the right sound and this. And for me, it's production. And I think I'm going to be credited as a producer on this album. So it's nice. But that's production. It's having a vision and making choices that are not necessarily what the artist would have done.
No, but you bring in a aesthetic perspective, whereas the engineer man is more practical, technical knowledge. Mm. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I want to play this ostinato that you gave
me. All right.
Apaisé. cassé, ne peut pas être réparé. Tout ce qui a été perdu ne peut pas être retrouvé. Tout ce qui écorche nos mains ne peut pas être retiré. Ce qui nous consume l'air de rien ne peut jamais être apaisé. Tout en avant, foncez, foncez, la tête devant, le front tendu de sortir, le sang s'écoule comme des idées. Alors marchez tout en avant, foncez, foncez, la tête devant, le front tendu de sortir, le sang s'écoule comme des idées. Comme des enfants, on sent le temps tomber.
Keep me at the pond.
final music for this edition, Masari with Ostinato. Then God's Teeth in the Interstellar Tropics with Teeth, but with E at the end, so Teethy. Teethy. from Slovenia, well, it was the older country, because this is 1987, live at Club MC Koper, Trobakova Kushne Pesci with Cowboy or Kozak, Cowboy or Cossack, huh?
Cowboy. Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah. It's a little Slav version. Beautiful. Ray Shin after that, What a Dream for a Death Day. And then I See Hawks in L.A. with How You Gonna Know. Finally, Vasari, Heartland. So what are you doing right at the moment?
I'm feeling a little frustrated for not having been able to play any shows in so many years. And also the album has been out for a year and a half. So what I'm doing at the moment is we're playing a show in London in November, and I'm working on a tour in the US for next April. And also we're getting back together. So this has to be said, Laureline, the bass player, Cyril, the drummer, and me don't live in the same city. We live about 300 kilometers apart. So we get together. We don't practice every week. We get together on weekends for 3 days, and we usually work for 3 days full on. And then maybe we'll, for example, next month, we're going to see each other 2 weekends, but mostly it's 1 weekend. So that's when we create our stuff. So we're going to start work. We have started working on new material, and we will do more of that in the forthcoming weeks. But we're really at the brim of this. It's really the early stages of creating new tracks. We want to play shows now. We're missing this. So we're working at working with people who can set up shows in France as well, which probably won't happen before next year because of all the bands that were booked before, and now it's being postponed, and now it's starting.
Yeah, we call it a backlog. Huh?
yeah, backlog.
But
exactly.
Things are slowly going to get better, I think. You know.
Yeah, I agree with
this. Optimistic. Now, where can people find you on the internet? Do you have a website?
We do have a website. It's Versari, Versari.org.
Okay.
But we are also, of course, we have a Bandcamp, and I think Bandcamp are good.
Yeah, but you probably have links at your home, your own.
Yeah, it's everywhere. Everything's on the website, and we're, of course, on all the platforms where we're being ripped off by the capital. But yeah. It is.
Good point. And finally, some advice to people just getting into music, Sean Charles.
Well, that's a hard one.
It's a Juan Pedro show. No hard questions, no wrong
answers. No, it's fine. I like it, but it's interesting because this afternoon I saw a friend. He came by the studio and he wanted some advice because he has an EP that's going to be out, and then he's got an album that's ready, and I'm probably going to work with him in the future through my label and through the studio, and I could totally tell that his experience of the music was already so different from mine, because I started playing music early 90s actually, and things were so much easier. And now an advice for someone who would start music now is, well, if I'm going to give an advice, the only advice I can give is be true to yourself. Don't do anything to please anyone. Because
Anyway. I think that's great advice. I wish more people would take stuff like that to heart, because it seems some people think there's a shortcut, and if they just, but there ain't no shortcut.
So there's no shortcut.
I like that advice. And man, when you guys get your new stuff like you're working on together, will you come back on the show? We can play it and talk about it.
Oh yes, I would love that.
Thank you so much. Really, merci.
Thank you.
It's been October 1, 2021. This is why Peter should keep your powder dry.